Again, a blessed Father's Day to all of our fathers. Thanks for choosing the gift of life, and we'll give you a blessing then at the end of our petitions today. But once again, happy Father's Day. Last week, we celebrated the Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this week, we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, the great body and blood of Jesus Christ. What we do, why we do, listen to these words again from the second reading from St. Paul to the people of Corinth, probably written about 50 AD, the earliest institution narrative we have. But this is what Paul writes. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, spoke and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Now, in those words, there are three things that I hear. First of all is this. The words that Paul shares are grounded in history. These words from our Lord come to us on the night he was handed over. What night was he handed over? It was the night of the Last Supper. Okay, the Last Supper. Second, we learn why we are to take bread, break it, bless it, give it. Why we're to take wine, bless it, and give it. It's because it's what our Savior asked us to do. Okay, I always tell people we didn't make this up in our spare time. This is what Jesus told us to do. I just shared those words with you. And third of all, why did the Lord ask this of us? To remember him, to never forget Jesus, and to proclaim his death until he comes again. That's why we do it. That's why we're here, to remember Jesus Christ. And so with this knowledge, for us to truly appreciate the gift of the Eucharist, I'd like to share some further thoughts on the Eucharist today, four things today. And the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to give you a quiz question today. Let's see how well you understand the Eucharist. Okay, the Eucharist. Do we understand what it is? It's a question that comes from us, from Father James Keating, and it came for us from a quiz that he's called, entitled The World's Toughest Catholic Quiz. So you're going to hear it's not easy. All right? But here's our question. It's multiple choice. One of the choices is the correct answer. And so here we go. After the consecration, in other words, when Father holds up the host, Father holds up the contents of the chalice, A, the host on the paten is Jesus' body. The contents of the chalice, the wine, are Jesus' blood. B, the blood, bread symbolizes Jesus' body and the wine symbolizes Jesus' blood. C, the host is both Jesus' body and blood, and the wine is both Jesus' body and blood. And D, Jesus' body and blood are really present with him with the bread and wine, and this is called the real presence. So let's go through them and see how we did, okay? First of all, so after the consecration, A, the host on the paten is Jesus' body. The contents of the chalice, the wine, are Jesus' blood. True or false? That's false. And the reason is this, because the bread and the contents of the wine, the chalice, the wine, are each both the body and blood of Jesus. Even though, because of their appearances, we commonly call one the body and the other the blood. This is one that I would have got wrong as a child because oftentimes I come up, receive from the host the body of Christ, and then I go the blood of Christ. But it's actually body and blood. All right, B, easy one. The bread symbolizes Jesus' body and the wine symbolizes Jesus' blood. True or false? False. We don't symbolize. It's not some manifestation. It's not, we call it the true, real presence. C, the bread is both Jesus' body and blood, and the wine is both Jesus' body and blood. True or false? That's true. Because both the bread and the wine, which are no longer bread or wine, but are called that only because of their appearance, become both the real body and blood of Jesus. And so that makes D also wrong, and it was this. Jesus' body and blood are really present with the bread and wine, and this is called the real presence. It's wrong, because after the consecration, the bread and wine cease to be present. So Jesus' body and blood cannot be present with them. So, after the consecration, while the bread and wine maintain the appearance of bread and wine and the taste of bread and wine, they no longer are bread or wine, rather the real body and blood. And here's where I would take note with Father Keating. I would debate this point with him. And also we say soul and divinity. Body, blood, soul, divinity. I don't think Father Keating went far enough on this. Okay? They are the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Looks like bread, tastes like bread, looks like wine, tastes like wine, but it no longer is. It is the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. All right? Got it? The Eucharist. Let's remember that. Not some not signify, not a manifestation, not a symbolism. It's the real presence. Second point. Why is there something different about being in a Catholic church? You know, I have people who aren't even Catholic who walk into a church like this and they say, there's something different about being here. There's a peace. There's a quiet. Just a peace. Well, brothers and sisters, we're in the presence of God. You know, whenever you go into a Catholic church, what do you look for if you've never been there before? We look at stained glass windows, crucifixes. We look at, you know, statues, stations, confessional if you're going to confession. But ultimately, we look for that right there. Okay? We look for that with that candle next to it. Some kids come up to me and say, what's in that small box? And indeed, it is a small box when we consider what it contains. Because in that small box is Jesus Christ. So when we say we are in the presence of God, we are. Jesus is there. Okay? And where my office is located, it's located over there just beyond the sacristy itself. I see people coming and going into the church all day long, all day, in, out, into the Perpetual Adoration Chapel all day, all night, coming in, going out. It's an amazing sight. I even have people from all up around the world come up to me and say, you know, Father, I looked up on your website. I was looking for Perpetual Adoration, and I noticed you had it, and that's why I'm here. Isn't that amazing? People from all over the world come here to be in the Adoration Chapel. Why? So that Jesus looks at them and they look at Jesus. Simple. Okay? It's powerful. It's profound. But that's what it is. So again, I take 6 o'clock on Thursday morning. That's my adoration slot time. So I'd ask you to consider that once again. Being a sub or taking a time. Times that are open are posted on the adoration door, or just call the parish office. Take a time, spend time before Jesus Christ. Third point today. People say this. I don't understand how this can be. How can Jesus state in John chapter 6, my flesh is true bread, food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. How can someone give us their flesh and blood to eat and drink? Here is the truth. Here it is. Because we don't always understand something does not make it impossible. How many things has science, medicine, physics, and the list goes on and ground brought to light in the past 150 years that before that time was never understood or ever comprehended, thought impossible? I'll give you some examples. Here they are. The polio vaccine, the light bulb, radar, steam engine, electricity, nuclear power, a vehicle which can drive by itself, television, the radio, the computer. Can you imagine what's going to come up in the next 100 years? We're going to say it's impossible. And yet here it is. Right here before us. It's going to be. So it is with the Eucharist. As Catholics, we believe in the Eucharist because we believe in the words of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus wouldn't deceive us. He wouldn't lie to us. What he says is true. This is my body. This is my blood. Take, eat, take, drink. He told us to. And finally, a couple of things people have shared with me, and I feel we're sharing words for you and me. This means I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not a priest copier or anything else, but here are a couple things. First, what we wear to Mass. A simple question for you to ponder is this. If we died right now, is what we are wearing how we would like to present ourselves before Jesus? Okay? Do you remember the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22? Okay, here's how the story goes. I'm just going to give it to you in a nutshell. King holds a wedding for his son. He sends out his servants to bring all those invited. And they come and they come and they come. Okay? Well, they make excuses, they make excuses, they make excuses. Actually, they don't come, they don't come, they don't come. Servant sends his servants back out, says, bring everyone, good and bad alike. So he brings them, the hall is full, he's happy, king goes out, greets everyone, until all of a sudden, he comes across someone without a wedding garment on. And what does he say? My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? The man can't answer and is thrown out into the darkness away from the feast. Why was he thrown out? Because of what he wore, meaning what he should have worn. The point when it comes to the wedding banquet, Jesus seems to be hinting at that what we wear, along with clothing ourselves in the ways of Christ, does matter. Okay? Secondly, I have noticed some people like to stay in church to pray after Mass. However, it's difficult to pray with people standing around conversing in the church. Don't get me wrong. I like it that people converse. My parents were the same way. They used to talk. All right, on and on they'd go. And that's great. With that, I would like to ask us to consider striking up conversations in the narthex, the gathering space. We have a beautiful, spacious gathering space for people to converse. And as this happens, we allow people in the church the opportunity to pray in silence before Jesus Christ. Okay? Hey, I'm not a police cop, so I'm not going to run around here copying everything. But a couple things that I really, really want us to think. Share. There's much more we can share. There's so much knowledge in the Eucharist, but I'm gonna close it out by saying this. Everything we are as a church stems from the Eucharist. Everything we are flows as a church flows from the Eucharist. Without the Eucharist, guess what? We would cease to be. We would not be the Catholic Church. It is the source and summit of our faith. Everything flows from it. What a gift we have. Do we realize that? Or do we take it for granted? What a gift. Cherish it, brothers and sisters. And let's pray with each other as we gather in Christ's presence this day.